It says, it's Matthew 24. I'll just read it. It's just one verse. Two verses. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Amen. Also in Corinthians, Paul encouraged us that in a race, we should have the mindset of those who run a race with a desire to win, to endure to the end, to obtain a crown. Amen. I just want to thank God so much for the Robinson's family. There was a little bit of a communication gap in our scheduling for the worship leaders tonight. And while we're just waiting, you know, God always makes room for sacrifice. Amen? Amen. Amen. When Abraham said, Isaac said to Abraham, but where is the sacrifice? Abraham said, God will provide. Amen. And God provided tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You never know what a family can do until there is a need. Amen. Look at these kids. They're all ready. The guitar, the saxophone, the worship leader. Just a family always available to serve. And may God continue to multiply his grace upon your life. Amen.
Amen.
It is not how you begin a race. It is how you finish. The Bible talks a lot about enduring, fight a good fight of faith. Paul talks about running to win. Amen? There are so many people in the Bible that began, but they never finished well. But God wants us to be like him. There are so many qualities that he's given to us. We as human cannot, so he gave us his ability so that we can be like him, which is his spirit. He says he is faithful and he wants us to be faithful. He says that God is faithful to finish what he begins. He wants us to be faithful to finish whatever we lay our hands and we start. Amen? He says God finished his work on the seventh day and rested. He wants us to be finishers. Paul said, I have finished my course. Amen?
Amen?
And it says, now a crown awaits me. Jesus on the cross said, it's finished. I finished my assignment. I finished. All the apostles, they all finished. Amen?
Amen.
The reason I'm saying that is God is always looking for faith. And the parable he gave about, if I come, shall I find faith, is a popular parable that we are every day learning to understand what God is saying to us. And that parable talks about the faithfulness of a widow she started something and she will not relent until she sees the end of it. And Jesus used the word, he says, it was a parable teaching us that we should always pray and not faint, not to give up. And in that parable, pretty much what the Lord was saying is, if you endure to the end, you will always see a victory. You will always obtain a crown. Amen?
Amen.
Based on how God is revealing something to you. And then the friend at midnight, he said, you know, he was knocking. If you keep knocking and keep knocking and keep knocking, not in the wrong place, but in the right place where there is bread. And you know what you're asking for. He says, if you endure to the end, you have bread. These are examples God gave to us to show that he's a faithful father. Amen?
Amen.
So I just kind of laid this foundation to say tonight before we pray. Like I was saying this morning, the question we should always ask ourselves is, who are we praying to? Who is this God that we are seeking? Who are we dealing with? You know, because he said in Hebrews 11, he said, he that comes to God must know that he is God. We must have an understanding who we are dealing with. And when I go away sometimes, those are the questions I ask myself. Do I really know what I'm doing with this God? And do I really know who this God is? And one of the things he taught me as I was wanting to know more about the fear of God, so that I can incline my heart, and when I set my hands on anything that is revealed, I will take my mindset and my reasoning out of the picture, and I will hold on to that thing with my life, no matter what it costs. And then let him drive that nail to the end so that I can see why he gave that promise. I found out that when God calls you out of Egypt, or calls you, he calls you to walk in a path that is beyond human reasonings. The moment you start reasoning the paths of the Lord, I'm not saying when some things are obvious, like in my life many times I've missed the mark. There are some things that God will show you light and day, okay, that's not the path to go. But there are some obvious things about the promises, about destiny, about things that is walking you through and is teaching you wisdom. When it starts walking you through these things and you're praying and you're moving, take your minds off it. The moment you put your minds in it, it's like a virus. You're contaminating the hard drive. Faith. So I asked the Lord to teach me his fear. Because the moment you begin to gain more fear, more reverence, more understanding of who you're dealing with, wisdom, you gain kingdom wisdom. You gain godly wisdom. That's why I told the Lord, I better be dead now than for my life not to affect a generation. I can't accept anything, but my life must be part of the life of people who leaves a mark, not in just a country, in a generation. I cannot accept anything less. Because that's why I'm willing to give up my life for God to make it happen. Why will you do something like that? Because when you see him, when you encounter him, when you understand who you're dealing with, your life is useless. That's why in Mount Zion, if anybody does not understand a calling, does not understand the need for destiny, is not provoked to be a leader, I don't know where you find it. Because this is what is nailed into your heart day and night. You cannot live like a human being. You cannot live like other people. You have something too valuable to waste your life just being somebody the world does not know. Before I say that thing about the fear of God, sometimes I'm just encouraged because you just throw your pearls out there. And you don't know who is receiving what. Because these things which we receive as spirit and life, they go into your spirit. And that's why sometimes when Mike Jones is praying or prophesying, he is all now, it's a revolution of destiny, understanding. And that's why most of you pray the way, just there's such a burden in your spirit to be men and women of destiny. I was talking to one of the students that graduated from here and was in a state where everybody's just running just the way they like. And I asked her, I said, how are you doing? So you have a boyfriend yet? She said, oh, no, Pastor. You have taught us better than that. I don't need a boyfriend. I need to encounter the man I'm supposed to marry. I can't be playing with men. I want to encounter who God has for me. And she said the word, he says, nobody will sit under the kind of things you say and allow their lives to be wasted. Mm-hmm. I just said, oh God, thank you that at least. Because this person is in a city where she said, Pastor, if you come here, the people are running wild with their flesh. He said, even the Africans, you know, just different, because she's an African lady. I said, so I'm so glad to hear. Because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, there was a discipline, there was a training, there was an experience they had. So when they were in Babylon, in the seat of corruption, they could not compromise because they have eaten from a godly table. So this girl says, you've taught us better. I cannot be having boyfriends. I know there's a man that God has destined. I will wait. I will wait. I was so blessed to hear that. The fear of God. The reason I want to say this is because God has given us a lot of examples to learn from. And I'm beginning to find out that we think God is so merciful, so gracious, so loving. But as he pours this grace and this mercy and this overflowing riches of his glory to us, there is a serious consequence if we despise it and neglect it and take it for granted. It is better that we never knew or been given this or has access to this and never used it. For 40 years, the people of Israel just continuously were wrestling with their destiny because they didn't want to walk by faith. They still want to reason God out, question God. So they lived their life constantly murmuring every step God was trying to use to crucify themselves, so that they can walk into the abundance of their destiny. The smartest thing on the face of the earth is self. The only thing smarter than self is the word of God. If you don't obey the word of God, you're too smart to kill yourself. Nobody will sit and kill himself. You're too smart to do that. Self is so smart. It has 1 million wise excuses why it will not submit to God. And it does it to protect, to preserve self. So that's why when we submit to God and by faith and we live out this consecrated life, it is not easy without the grace of God and without surrendering. So for 40 years, these people were constantly accusing Moses, blaming him, as if he's the one that he's just obeying God. And they would say, well, how long are we going? I mean, it was on and on because they didn't want. Even God told Moses, I am tired of these people. He said, they constantly provoke me. But God has a remnant. Amen? And their heart were ready for the promised land. I was asking the Lord to teach me a little bit because sometimes I lose the fear of God. I lose the awe. I lose the reverence. I'm not talking about trying to be voluntary humility. I'm talking about the fear that makes me, when I read any passage of his word, I feel that's God speaking and I don't play with it. The fear that makes me when God says, esteem others more lowly. No matter what happens, I'm asking God, whatever it takes, even if I need to fall on somebody's feet, whatever it is, I must obey. The fear that teaches, whatever it is, this is the wisdom of God. The word of God is the wisdom of God. So, one of the things the Lord taught me, why it's so easy for people to despise such the glory, they rejected Christ, they despise this thing, is because God is clothed. He clothes himself with humility, with meekness. That's his nature. So it's impossible through the human pride and the human eyes to really see through and understand who we are dealing with, so we can really honor him. So I say, God, I don't want to lose the fear. I don't want to become too familiar with you. I want to know, I want to be able to run with your command. I want to be able to, no matter what it is, I want to be able to obey no matter what the cost is, because I know. So give me an example to help me to intentionally start learning more of his fear. And give me several examples, but here's this one. You know, when you go to New York, or you go to Paris, or to certain major cities in America, or D.C., there is some magnificent buildings. I mean, magnificent buildings. The architectural designs, the skyscrapers are unbelievable. And when you look at them, you're going, wow, wow, what is this? How did they build this? Who came up with, where did this, what, I mean, you're just going, wow, you look, I mean, by the time you go inside, it just, oh, what? It's like full of wonders. You're just in awe. You're just overwhelmed. So you're going, wow. And that word wow and is kind of an awe. It's an expression of the impact of the creativity. And that's like you're worshiping the building. You're worshiping the architectural design. It's just like just the human nature in awe. So when you express that, and all of a sudden, somebody comes and introduces you and say, here's the architect that drew this. Here's the builder. You meet the person. He takes you out for lunch. And you sit with the person. And the person might just be wearing a T-shirt. Because some of these people sometimes don't overdress. Wearing a T-shirt, sit with you, and you eat. And you're looking at the person and say, hey, Mr. David, you know, you've done a great job. That's amazing. You know, you build this thing. And you're like, you know, just chat and... And the person, you know, at the end, the person walks away, you go home. You just met the person. But you see, because the person is clothed with flesh, and you are clothed with flesh, it is so hard for you to see who that person really is. But it's easy for you to see who the building is. But it's so difficult for us to understand who the builder is. So you meet the builder, it's just normal. But you see the building, you are in awe. So because of this human nature that tends to not see through and despise men, we tend to not really understand people by the nature of what they have done. So if you really want to know who that man is, if you really want to capture what is behind that brain? What is behind this guy I'm sitting with a dinner? Don't look at the guy. Put the building in your mind. Keep thinking about the building. Keep thinking about it. Bring the picture of the skyscraper. The more you have the picture of the skyscraper, you look at that man and say, who are you? You have something. You begin to see that man through the picture of the building. You begin to understand who is sitting around you through the picture of the building, and you are able to ask that person questions. You are able to relate and honor that person the way the person is willing to be able to pour his heart to you and share secrets with you. The person that built a plane or the big ships and stuff. So, that's the way God just in so many ways told me, says, you see, this little earth that we live in is one of the smallest planets. One of the smallest planets. And even the measurements of this earth is mind-boggling. Look at this earth, even the universe is on. Scientists are still, with the best technology today, still cannot exhaust the knowledge of the earth and the scope of the universe. Those that have done the merger, they are talking about billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of, you know, traveling time to even connect some planets. And we're talking about the earth. By the time you fly in the air, it's unbelievable. You're going from here to Africa or from here to Texas. There is no ending to the sky. There is no limit to the sea. Sometimes you're in the sea, you can't see the end of it. You look at the sky, you can't see the end of it. And you're in this small part called North America, and the earth is just full of 7 billion people, and still billions can fit just in America. And God looks at this and puts it in the palm of his hands. And God spoke it in 6 days. So God is saying, the human mind is too much for the physical human mind. So that's why there are people out there in other religions that the art is so magnificent, is so out of human mind, that Satan has converted the minds of people to worship creation. Romans 1, they worship the creation rather than the creator. It's so boggling that people worship the moon and the stars and the sun and the earth, and because it's just, when they think about it, they're like, this is God. This is, in India, they worship goats and cows and everything because it's so mind-boggling to them how these things exist. How God put brains in men. How God, just think about it alone. Just the nature of man, the mindset of man, the God that is able to fashion men with eyes and ears and hearts and brains, and you can see, you can think, you can perceive, you can plan, you can project. And animals and this and trees, and you just look at the perpetual, the sun in its place never moves, and the earth rotates, everything in its balance for thousands of years. And you look at and you think about this, and David says, when I behold the wonders of your hands. The song says, when you know how great thou art. When you think about all these things, that's the God that we serve. How come that we don't reverence him? How come we don't fear him very much? Because he's clothed in humility. When he came into this world, he came in the flesh. And so people ate with him, just were and ate and despised it. They could not see through to say, this is the Messiah. This is God in the flesh. That's how great he is. And then, now he sent his spirit. Now he's giving us his word. Now we have his promises. But still, that reverence and that fear is not there. Why? Because of our human mind. Because of our fallen nature. So that's why I prayed. I cried out to God, teach me to fear you again. Teach me to reverence you. Teach me to understand what it means to really worship you. You don't worship God because somebody tells you. Worship is the impact of the way you are impacted by meditating on the things of God, by really understanding the person you are coming before. You are so impacted that you cannot help it but express the awe of who he is. And that's worship. Amen? Amen. So that's just one way that the Lord helps me to worship, helps me to connect. I can't see him face to face, but I can see the work of his hands. And when I think about the work and the wonders of his hands, I can see through his word who I'm talking to, who I'm seeking. And then I can read in the book of Revelations and in Ezekiel, I can see some of the ways this God has manifested himself. So when I put this together, what his hands have done, and I connect to the visible pictures he's painted about himself in Revelations and his throne, when I put that together, my flesh and my mind cannot hold my spirit from being in his presence. Because those two together will take you in the spirit realm. Amen. I said that to say, God has called us into a season of consecration. And sometimes when we begin a joining, when we begin a process, when we hear God say, start this race, okay, prepare, we're going to do this, start this race. Some of us, because of the nature of God to test out the ways of man, we immediately think, okay, it's going to be, we're going to go through this thing just once, run the field. You know how they do that, Matt? Just run round. But maybe God intended it for it to be 8 times round the field or 7 times round the field. But he didn't say, just say, start. That's why Paul says, those who endure to the end. If there is no need for endurance, he will not talk about the end. Amen? In Christianity, it's very easy. If God tells you the end, everybody will make it to the end. Amen? Because then you're prepared for it. You carry enough water. You carry enough everything. You know the beginning to the end. So you just, you know. But God, in his wisdom, will tell you sometime to begin, but he doesn't tell you when he will visit you. He doesn't tell you when you will end. Because look at the Gideon army. Look at the different people in the Bible. Abraham, come out, you have child. He got excited. But he never knew it would take 24 years. Then for Sarah to be finally pregnant, and the 25th year for them to see the child. That man thought it would be the next day. It would be the next year. Look at Joseph. If you look at everybody that has had a calling, they started a race, their mind never goes to it will go more than a year before they see it. It's just a human soul. So when you begin a race, or God calls you into a season, like we started in March and April, the first month. I mean, my spirit was excited. My soul was burning. I know what I was feeling as the best year of my life. I said it. I was excited. And then, you know, you start going, though you see little signposts here and there, but you know what you're expecting, you know what you're feeling, and you're so excited, and then you go around the football field race one time, and you say, okay, and then some people drop out after the first race, you go through the second race. Some people drop out, more people come in, they come in at the second, you know, the third hour, the 11th hour of the race. You just keep running. And then you're like, okay, God, are we going to finish at the fourth time? It gives you, you know? And then you see some people still continue. And that's why Paul said, those who endure to the end. I like the way God works. He does not leave the end in our hands. He doesn't tell us when he will visit. He doesn't tell us, but eventually, if you are faithful enough, eventually he will give you a clue. Amen? But even in the clue, he won't tell you the minute or the second. Because you slack off. I'm telling you, just human nature. So, we go through, and you think, so what do you do? Just like Moses, they started, you go through the wilderness. That's why the people over and over, they'll say, Moses, when are we going to get to this place? We've been in this wilderness. If you go read into, we've been here long enough. You know, and then they will complain and they will say, we're not going to get to this place. We're not going to ever make it. I mean, just on and on. But that is not Moses. They are following the cloud by day and the fire by night. And so that's the way God is leading us. And it's not easy to walk by faith. So we started and you know, God will take some people along and God will bring some people in the middle to energize us and we keep going. And we've been going and we're learning through the process. But as we hit this season and we're learning, you know, God still shows things. At a point, you hold back some things. But I know that God spoke to us. I know we're heading somewhere. I know God wants to do something. But you're just waiting. It was until I went away these few days that I realize, I normally realize that every time I go away, but when you come back into the natural world, you wait, sometimes you lose that realization. But this is what I realize every time. Whatever it takes, take your mind off what God is doing. Just stay with it, Stay focused. Don't take your focus off the expectation for big things to happen and what he's saying he's going to do and what he's telling us to do. If God inspired it, he's going to do it. But as far as the timing, sometimes it's a process. It's a race. It's a waiting. It's a testing. It's a purifying. It's a purging. It's a preparation. It's a dying. But the reason, like I said this day, the incense is so pleasing to God, God doesn't want to just give you normal blessings. But some of us are ready, like Abraham, to just say, God, I can't wait anymore. Let me just settle for normal blessing. But God says, no. Amen? You have waited too long, and I have something too big to give to you. And that's what this is about. God showed me what he's doing inside and what he's been doing that just, I just say, God, I always say, but this time I said it over and over, take my mind away from this. I don't care if the whole world is tired, if the whole world don't understand. Father, this is an abomination to question your wisdom, to continuously strive with your ways. You are too big to make a mistake. You are too great to fail those who take time to wait on you. You are too mighty. You are God. You are beyond our thought patterns. You are beyond time. You're in time. You are just God. And for even you are beyond our ability to make mistakes. So why do I continue to strive with your mercy and your wisdom? Let me just fall on your hands. And whatever it is, give me grace to wait. You are too big to fail. The song says God can do anything but fail. Amen? Amen. So when I see these things, after a while, I say, these revelations are too much. Let me just make a decision. No more reasonings. It's a stronghold. It's a pollution of faith. To reason this thing is too much for our human mind. Amen? Amen? So, and then God showed me a lot, which during these 21 days we'll be talking about. But God works in cycle of times. God works in seasons. There are some blessings God brings in seasons, but there are some blessings God brings in cycles of seasons. You know, I used to say some things, and sometimes I don't realize what I say by the Spirit. Sometimes I realize them, but it's just so neat sometimes when some people capture it. You know, Mike Jones has captured a few things because he likes to, he's a prophetic scribe. He's a scribe in many ways, takes notes of stuff. And I remember him always telling me when we meet, he say, you know, you said something about the times of are not the times of manifestation. So, and he would say, sometimes he's been noticing, I don't notice it, until he started saying, so there are certain things the Lord will reveal in this house this year, but their manifestations come the next year. You know, just he's noticed some kind of patterns in that way. But that's because we're human, and our soul can capture things and based on our spirit. But once we receive things, we wait on the Lord unto the end. So the Lord started showing me the amazing, amazing privilege of our waiting time. And he was showing me the cycle to seal, to finish the cycle in the seventh month. Because the first and the second, with the Hebraic calendar, is a cycle of first month to seventh month. It doesn't go to the 12th month. The cycle gets to the seventh month. Then the 8th month is a new beginning. Another cycle begins. And so he uses the agricultural, the farming cycle as their prophetic times and seasons. So only God gave Israel that. It is the world calendar goes from the first month to the 12th month. But God's calendar goes first to the seventh. And the cycle begins 8th to the, and then it goes with that cycle. Because that's why 7 is the complete, the finish. 8 is a new beginning, and the cycle continues. So, and that's the prophetic cycle of how God works with Israel. 7 is a number of the finish line, completion, perfect completion. So he was saying we should complete what we began in the first month this season in the seventh month. And that's why we're going to embrace this 21 days into the feast. And then we'll see in this season why God has led us to consecrate this season. And that's when everybody will know we have not obeyed God in vain. Amen? Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage us tonight. Let's just stand in agreement. And again, prayer is very helpful. Sometimes people's hands are weak. Sometimes their knees are feeble. You know, they get tired. They get weary. They've gone so much. So let's pray that God tonight, just in this next few minutes, pray that everyone that has been so faithful, that God will pour out grace upon them to capture this rest of this race, to endure to the end, to finish, to sustain this process they began, so that they will not miss whatever God has in mind. Amen. Let's pray for families. Let's pray those that have connected to this. Let's pray for everyone that has, just pray for Mount Zion, that as a family will connect to it. And the city, God has brought them into the flow without them knowing it. So it's not a coincidence. Let's pray that whatever God is orchestrating, we will not miss the opportunity to be part of those who are giving birth to this process. Amen. So I just want to, I use that briefly just to encourage us. And we're going back tomorrow to our building there. And let's continue to pray from there tomorrow. And then beginning on the 5th, we'll enter into the beginning of the first days. As God leads you to fast, that will be great. And then we'll see what happens. And I'll be sharing some of the experiences I had. And we'll just see what God is going to show to us during that season. But we'll just come and wait upon the Lord. Amen. It's really the best year of my life. It's true. And it's going to be the best year in Mount Zion. And we're going somewhere. So we'll start from the back. Bisola, Mike Jones, any of you that feels led, just pray as God leads you. Let's just ask God to have mercy on those who just as you have shared enough, so you know, and as God leads you, and then I'll ask Lila to close for us in front here. Amen? So let me begin, and then as the Lord leads you, and let each of us as we join together today, just pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, please show us every day, as you're teaching us your way, that you do just what you say in your time. In your time. In your time. You make all things beautiful. In your time, Lord, please show us every day as you're teaching us your way that you do just what you say in your time, that you do just what you say in your time. Father, we thank you. You said not one iota, one jot of your word will fail, though heaven and earth be shaken. We thank you because your word is infallible. Your word is forever settled in heaven. Our soul can be anchored and unmovable upon your word. We thank you that your word, you are one with your word. Father, we thank you that we have that assurance of the promise of your word. So we give you glory and honor for breathing the life They're inspiring us by the prophetic nature of your word and awakening our understanding to the destinies you prepared for us. And awakening our expectation, oh God, our generation will not be the same because you care. We thank you that the souls of our generation are destined for transformation. And we know that only by your Spirit will this be done. And we know that your Spirit partners, oh God, with us as your temple. So we ask that this house, this living temple, will be a living incense, a house of prayer. Father, keep us in alignment, in tune with what you're doing and what you're saying. We wait upon you. We depend on you. We look to you. We trust in you. Because we know you are more than able to fulfill your word and your promises for our generation. So, Father, I commit this remnant into your hand. I lift up every soul, every heart you've destined and called into this hour. I ask for grace. Father, I ask for you to draw your people whose hearts are set up to you, that, Father, we will endure and sustain this incense and this altar. You have privileged us, O God, for the special work you're doing in this hour. Father, I thank you for laborers. For the harvest is truly great. But Father, send forth your laborers to pray in that which you purpose to do. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I pray for an awakening in your hearts as they hear your heart. I pray for that steadfastness. I pray for that enduring, that faithfulness. I pray for that commitment. I pray for vision. I pray for understanding. I pray for the zeal of the Lord. I pray, oh God, for that faith that never quits. I pray, Father, for that persevering, sustaining desire to wait and to seek your face. Father, I have tasted and seen the power of waiting on you. And great are the things you prepared for your people. So, Father, call us together in this season by your Spirit. And keep us upon this mountain until. Receive all the glory. Receive all the honor. In Jesus' name. Just lead us.